Imagine creating a new ideological frame where children in this nation were imbued with a sense of caring for everyone, seeing everyone's humanity, not labeling a group of people as less than simply because of the color of their skin. So we're working to create a new governing standard so that we can begin to have a new ideological basis for moving to where we are. That may sound like heady stuff and impossible, but hate is an ideology, and look how it's spreading. So love and the care for humanity can spread as well. That's our job, not to be Pollyannish about it, but to be bold and ruthlessly practical about how we do that.
This is Mission to Scale, a podcast that reveals the tools, mindsets, and strategies that organizations and funders need to maximize their impact, because the world's biggest problems need solutions at scale. I'm your host, Dan Beredovitz, founder of Spring Impact. Activists have known for generations that the deep equity and race issues in America are systemic. Recent events, such as the killing of George Floyd, have been a catalyst for a wider range of people to look deeply at the systems of oppression that are the country's foundations, systems that have caused harm to communities for centuries. America's population is increasingly becoming more diverse, but that hasn't changed the fact that low-income people and communities of color continue to be underserved, robbed of resources that would allow them to thrive. Michael McAfee, CEO and president of PolicyLink, deeply understands that America is not following through on its promise of equity.
We don't have institutions designed for a thriving multiracial democracy. We've never asked ourselves, what do our institutions need to become for the people who live here now? What does our economy have to become in order not to have 100 million people struggling to make ends meet? So that's our task at hand right now, to slowly but surely begin to do that work to create a just and fair society.
PolicyLink is striving to achieve racial and economic equity all across the nation. Besides designing policy, they work at a grassroots level and empower local leaders in marginalized communities. Their path-breaking work earned them a Skoll Award for Social Innovation this year. In this episode of our special series with the Skoll Foundation, Michael shares how PolicyLink is helping make the American dream a reality. PolicyLink was founded in 1999 with the goal of improving economic access for low-income households of color. Michael joined the team in 2011 after a successful career serving underserved communities.
What I love about PolicyLink is that it looks like the United Nations. And working for the all is as fundamental as reading and writing. You can't work here if you won't work for everyone, if you're afraid to say white folks or Asian folks, et cetera. So it's the first place that I've ever worked at that actually felt liberated to do my best work and to be myself. And it's because it's built into the foundation of the organization. You know, if you can't be bold, if you can't speak to the issues of the day, you can't work at PolicyLink. It's just that fundamental. But also something that I thought was also really powerful about PolicyLink is that it's aspiration to work at the scale commensurate with the problem. I didn't want to just spend my life doing charity work. Charity work is important, but charity work doesn't earn us the right to think that the world gets better. The design of the nation has to change. That's just the reality. So that's why I wanted to come to PolicyLink, because not only is doing the work for the all in the DNA of the institution, its aspiration is worthy of the moment. That's what PolicyLink is really about, and that is what our fundamental work is about. Now, we work in the areas of democracy and in the economy and water, housing, and transportation and community safety. Those are our core issues. But the real work for PolicyLink right now is to win on equity, to get to the issues of designing a democracy and economy that actually works for everyone, for that 100 million that's struggling to make ends meet. That's our job. And so you say, what does that mean? Well, it means we've got to change our legal and regulatory environment so that it supports the things that I'm talking about. We've actually got to change our institutions. You know, we don't have institutions designed for a thriving multiracial democracy.
To build these equitable institutions, PolicyLink has worked directly with the Biden administration to sign a monumental act on racial equity. In fact, it was President Biden's first executive order after taking office in 2021. The name of the bill is Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities. By fighting systemic racism, the act aims to strengthen historically neglected neighborhoods.
That order was so powerful because it starts getting at the heart of how the nation will govern itself. We helped to write that. We helped to shape that. We helped to create the political conditions for that. And not only does it do it the first time, he just recently came back and did a second racial equity executive order that gets to how we budget. It gets to how we do the daily work of democratic governance. That is transformative. Under President Obama's tenure, we designed the Healthy Food Financing Initiative for him. This was an effort to bring capital to supermarkets, grocers, so that we would get rid of these food deserts, places where you don't have an option to go to for healthy, nutritious food.
PolicyLink also worked alongside President Obama to plant seeds of opportunity for underprivileged communities. In 2011, the Promised Neighborhood Program created a pathway out of poverty for more than 300,000 children through access to better education.
The first place-based effort from cradle to career for hundreds of thousands of children from the time they're conceived to the time they can compete for a living wage job to actually have a pathway out of poverty. We designed that program and we gave it to the administration, and it's been going strong ever since, and the appropriation continues to get increased even when we have a different political administration. That's what we do. We lift up a good idea in community. We do the research to translate it into really good programs at the federal, state, or local levels. And then we help to ensure that the implementation is the way we would want it to be.
Michael recognizes the structural racism that plagues our nation. He believes that we need to build healthy institutions that allow everyone to thrive.
We have a hierarchy of human value that needs to be dismantled. That's our work. Imagine creating a new ideological frame where children in this nation were imbued with a sense of caring for everyone, seeing everyone's humanity, not labeling a group of people as less than simply because of the color of their skin. So we're working to create a new governing standard so that we can begin to have a new ideological basis for moving to where we are. That may sound like heady stuff and impossible, but hate is an ideology, and look how it's spreading. You see what I'm saying? So love and the care for humanity can spread as well. That's our job, not to be Pollyannish about it, but to be bold and ruthlessly practical about how we do that. So we're working to create a new ideological perspective, a new narrative for this nation to hold on to, a new narrative that centers a thriving multiracial democracy, not just a thriving white democracy. And we've never done that work as a nation. We can have a founder's orientation and finish the unfinished business of our democracy. It's always a living organism and a work in progress. The question for us, are we clear about what's the work for our generation? And the work for our generation is to perfect it, to live into the words that were in the founding documents like justice and all, even though they didn't include me back then. They do now, and that's all that matters. And so that's the work that we're doing. With our corporate racial equity work, we're looking to work with corporations to figure out how can you do well and not harm the environment and not oppress folks. There's thousands of examples of that all around the country. How do we begin to make that the norm? How do we create the legal and regulatory environment to incentivize that behavior? This is the type of long-term work that we're engaged in right now, to transform accounting practice to support behaving this way, to transform how investors invest in businesses to behave this way.
Despite achieving successful policy change, Michael believes there's still a lot of work to be done. He recognizes equity is seen like a zero-sum game by those in power. Many don't see a benefit in providing economic opportunities for others.
The reality is, designing an economy for everyone to work would not be problematic. I'm going to give you a very practical example. How anti-blackness hurts everyone. You lived in the Bay. You've talked to many people who have children of school age, and they have to make a serious decision. Can they afford their rent and our mortgage? and private school, because if they have choices, they would say in many cases, the public school is not the best choice for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't afford private school and the rent or mortgage because it's too expensive to live in this region. Now, why can't you afford a good quality public school environment here? Well, if you read a book like The Color of Law, what you would see is how we ended up getting an educational system that we disinvested in because of Black people throughout California. And so now, to no fault of their own, of folks now who have kids, they may have good jobs at Facebook and Google and all these companies, but they can't afford to live here because of anti-Blackness. So this is a perfect example how you designed something to hurt me. You said, you know what? We're going to take white kids out of public education and we're going to start defunding the schools. The public school is not going to be a good product if you have buying options. And today, white people, Asian people, Latin folks, Black folks, we're all crippled by not having a premier public education environment. And that is an example where folks don't recognize the legal environment going back to the 70s that actually caused what we have today.
One in three people in the United States economically insecure. That's 100 million people, out of which 40 million are white.
The thing you designed to harm me now is harming too many white folks. And white America doesn't get that in totality. And it's hurting this nation and it's going to destroy this nation. Because while we're creating these artificial enemies, immigrants, Black folks, Asian folks, it's actually the design of an oppressive nation that's killing us all. And it's tragic. And so you see it even now with some members of a political party deciding they're going to ban books. Think about it. We've gone to war for things like this. Don't say gay. Don't teach equity in schools. And yet folks who want a different America than that are ashamed, it seems, to embrace the all seriously. And that is the biggest threat. Usually when we say all in America, we mean white. When I say all in America, I mean everyone. And until we can learn to govern for the all, to design a democracy for the all, design an economy for all, this nation will never reach its full potential. And so that is the biggest threat. Figuring out how do we finally live into the aspiration of the most important word in the equity definition. And that word is all.
The things you're talking about are amazing things to be working towards. And I know that there are many others in the US also trying to scale up programs that advance equity, racial equity in a number of different ways. What advice would you have for others who are trying to scale up their work for the benefit of communities everywhere?
The first thing I would say is we have to build strong, enduring institutions. Dreaming or having aspirations or having a strategy document without the financial resources or the talent means nothing. And too often we haven't focused on the quality of our institutions. We focused on programs or services. This is a moment to make sure we have the institutions that can usher in the type of democracy and economy we want. So the first thing we've got to do is to stop being a critic of everyone else and actually model what we say we want to see in the nation. Model it. Build the types of institutions that are actually the lifting up what works component of what we're doing. We have to be the examples. And what I mean by that is my salary is never more than five times the lowest paid person. The lowest paid person must make above living wage in the city that they are in. We close our office 2 weeks out of the year just so everybody can relax and restore. We have unlimited leave. We don't require people to come back to the office. We pay 100% of benefits. We actually pay corporate wages because we want to build wealth for folks. If you really want to know how to bring equity in the world, struggle to do it yourself. Make sure that their institutions are models of what they're talking about in the world. That's how you develop the mastery to do this work. The second thing is to really ask yourself, are we doing the work that is worthy of our existence? Because if we ask those questions, and we've centered a population, like we've centered that 100 million in America, it will force us to be innovative. It will force us to be courageous. And it will force us to find the edges of the work that is liberating.
Michael believes the Skull Award is an opportunity to build a stronger network of other innovators trying to create change.
Skull was one of the early investors in my leadership, but not just with the money. Their staff has poured into us, poured into connecting us to organizations that we didn't know exist, the networks that were out there that we never had access to, and that has birthed new bodies of work. It's accelerated bodies of work, like the corporate racial equity work, as an example. And so this acknowledgement is game-changing for us as an institution. It is a level of validation and credibility that allows people to see us in a different light. You know, one of the hardest things, I think, for organizations led by people of color is to not be seen as just a nice shop, a shop that is just doing good work. We need to be seen for who we are. Preeminent leaders, preeminent institutions that are doing some of the most transformative work in the nation. And it's hard to be seen that way. And for Skoll to do what is in our tagline, lifting up what works, to lift up us in their ecosystem, you can't put a price tag on that. So that's what they've done for us. They've been gracious with their time and their resources, but more importantly, they've been gracious enough to be on this journey to create a just and fair society with us. And that's what I love, that they create the environment for us to be in this work together for the long haul. And that's what gives me the greatest joy. That's how I stay motivated, because I'm in community with folks that are truly special people.
Fantastic. What's one call to action that you'd want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
It is not to be ashamed to love. It is to be not to be ashamed to care for the all, and to be courageous enough to design a nation for the all, and to make sure that the all doesn't just mean white folks. And what that ultimately means as the most singular call to action that we could have in this moment around the globe, which is to be unafraid and to stay the course in spite of the pushback and the threats that we're getting from folks who want a very different type of world. We have to stand steady in this storm. If we're not, this work will be waiting for us 100 years from now. It is not going to go away because we don't take it up right now. It will be there waiting for us. Our children and grandchildren will have to then take it up. We're better than that.
To achieve racial equity, innovators need to be both fearless in their mindset and creative in their approach, just like Michael. I hope that you learned from him as much as I did. If you want to learn more about PolicyLink, you can visit www.policylink.org. And if you're interested in learning more about this year's winners of the Skoll Award for Social Innovation, visit the link in our show notes. Before we go, we'd like to thank the Skoll Foundation for the work that they do and for partnering with us in this series. If you love Mission to Scale, please recommend our show to a friend or colleague. You can subscribe or follow our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thanks so much for joining us, and I'll catch you all in the new episode next week. Mission to Scale is produced by Spring Impact and Human Group Media. If you want to learn more about our work at Spring Impact, visit springimpact.org and follow us at Spring Impact on Twitter.